Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll be looking tonight at verse 169 down through verse 176. And I guess if I was going to put a title on the message tonight, it would just be Sealed, S-E-A-L-E-D, Sealed. You'll understand a little bit more about that a little bit later. But there's some things going on here, and I think because you and I are sealed, they ought to be going on in our lives as well. Psalm 119, verse 169, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Doesn't that seem odd to end this chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, with a verse like that? "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." I believe that David never did forget what God had done for him initially, and then in restoring that joy in his heart and in his life. And he was a man after God's own heart, but not only in the beginning, but thank God in the end of his life, he was still a man. When he found out that because he was a man of war, he wasn't going to be able to build the house of the Lord, he didn't pout. He didn't get ill. He said, "Well, if I can't build it, I'll get the stuff together to build it. I'll do what I can." Amen. And I appreciate that attitude in David's life. Let's pray for just a moment. We'll get started in the message. Our Father, tonight, we want to thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, that you are the God of this book. And Lord, I thank you that this book is the book of our lives. Lord, I remember what a preacher said several years ago. I never have forgotten. He said, "I've got a lot riding on this book." And Lord, that's a good place to let it ride tonight, on a book that's forever settled in heaven. On a book that's never been able to be proven wrong and never will be. On a book that's true. Thank you, God, for the book. Lord, every verse in this Psalm 119 magnifies the book, the precious old Bible. I pray, Lord, tonight you'll help us to magnify these truths in our midst. And Lord, give us a good time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We want to look tonight at the 22nd letter. It's pronounced Tav, and the numeric value is 400. And the pictogram tonight is that of a mark or of a seal. And it's almost like you come down to the end, and God is saying that these truths are sealed, that you and I, as God's people, are marked for the glory of God. And I'll say some things about that a little bit later in the message. But because we are tonight, there's some truths here that I would like to bring out. First of all, turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter number 38. Genesis, chapter number 38. This is kind of an Old Testament expression of this pledge or this seal. And then we'll go and look at a couple places in the New Testament as it's expressed in the Word of God. I don't know if you know the story or not tonight, but I would say that most of you do. But there's a story here about Judah and about, now, I've always called her Tamar, but I heard her name pronounced in a Bible program today, Tamar. So I'm not sure, that's probably more correct. I just kind of say it like I look at it. But anyway, if I say Tamar, you forgive me. I need to just look it up in my back of my Bible, see how they say to say it. But Judah, here the Bible said, of course, Onan, he spilled his seed on the ground. And then in verse 10, the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. And then said Judah to Tamar, or Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up into the sheep shears in Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil, wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned into her by the way, and he said, go, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? Here's the picture tonight of this pledge, or this seal, this mark. And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet, thy bracelets, thy staff that's in thine hand. And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid her veil from her and put on her the garments of widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the man of the place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? They said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah, said, I cannot find her. And also the men of this place said there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. It came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burned. I'm going to tell you something right now, buddy. It can catch up with you in a hurry, can't it? Amen. Here's the man that had made the pledge. He had given her the signet and the bracelet. You say, what is the pledge, preacher? It's a guarantee that the person making the pledge will return. That's exactly. You hold on to that tonight, and then you can hold on to your seat after a while. Amen. It's a guarantee that the person making the pledge will return. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these? The signet, the bracelets, and the staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her again no more. It came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. It came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. It came to pass, he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. That's just an Old Testament example of a pledge, or a mark, so to speak, a promise. That's what Judah was doing. He didn't know who he was doing that to. And he didn't know who he was doing that with. Didn't understand at the time that it was his daughter-in-law. But his daughter-in-law was trying her best to preserve seed to the household of Judah. That would actually end up in the lineage of David and our Lord. There's some things in the Bible you can't understand or you can't explain maybe, but God has a way. Amen? God has a way. And so in the New Testament, what do you find? Well, in Ephesians 1:13, the Bible said, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth." Now remember that, the word of truth. "That the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." When you get to the New Testament, every time someone is saved by the grace of God, God puts a mark on that individual. God puts a seal in that individual's life. Now, some would say, well, that's just a reason to go live it up. Oh, no, you don't understand the seal. You don't understand the mark, amen, of the Christian. The Bible said you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what God said when he saved me? I'll be back. I'm coming back after you, buddy, amen. I promise, and here is the pledge. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, amen, and I will come and receive you unto myself, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You and I that are saved tonight, and I'm getting on into scripture in a minute, but we have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God sealed us until the day of redemption. That's what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That earnest money is kind of like a down payment, a guarantee that you're going to pay it in full. Amen. And thank God at Calvary, he paid our sin debt in full. Yet we have not been totally redeemed yet because we're still in this house of clay. But when we get totally redeemed, we'll have a new body like unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit moves into our lives at the moment of salvation. And that is God's guarantee that he will come back for us. Amen? He will. Now listen to this. I want you to think tonight, I don't have time to parallel all of this. But I'm going to read a text tonight. And as I go through this little section in Psalms, 8 verses, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the last section of 8 verses, I want you to parallel some of the things that the Apostle Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter number 4. I'll begin in verse 23. The Bible said, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying." First of all, I want to ask a question tonight. Who is this written to? Is this written to sinners? No, it's not. It is not written to sinners. Listen to what the Bible said. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another." That tells you right there. I mean, God's talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. Amen. So what is this? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say it's entirely possible for you to be saved by the grace of God and get tripped up along the way. Amen. And tell a lie. Hello. Amen. It is. It's possible. And then Paul is warning against these things. He's saying there is a new man, but you better never forget this. There's an old man too. Amen. There's an old man too. He wants to rear his head. I was having a little fun today. I'm going to go ahead and tell this. I mean, it'll go out all over the world. But there was a man up here today, came up and gave us a price on the sheetrock. And Brother John said it'd be somewhere around $1,200.
Well, that might buy the sheetrock. That ain't the whole job. I found that out today. Amen. But anyway, that's what Brother John was talking about anyway. I'd say just buying the sheetrock. But anyway, I was telling the man what happened yesterday. We had some men out here working. We were within 10 minutes covering up a hole with a backhoe. Within 10 minutes of being done for the day, it's about 3 o'clock. And I hooked the pipe with the backhoe that comes out of the new church going into the septic system. And to put it real nicely, I tore up Jack. I'm telling you what's the truth. I saw the ground move and I quit. But it was too late. Everything that we had just put in, we had to redo all that. Wasn't quite as bad as I thought. Well, anyway, this man out here looking at the sheetrock today, he said, well, preacher, he said, you didn't cuss. I said, no, but if you'd have wrote it down, I'd have signed it. He said, Brother Houston, here's what he said. He said, I'll just leave that between me and you. Well, I just told the whole world, amen. What are you telling the whole world? There's still an old man. It was very, very disheartening. But honestly, I never thought about cussing. Amen. I might have, Brother Gary hadn't have been there. But anyway, I never even thought about that. But I'm just trying to tell every one of us tonight, there are things that will let the air out of us. There's still an old man around. Amen. And Paul is warning here. He says, be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Has anybody ever give place to the devil since you've been saved? Help me. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good. Now we look at that right there and we say, well, we ain't been down to the store and stole any chewing gum or stole any pop or we haven't been down to Walmart stealing anything. But I go back to a lesson that Brother Brian taught about tithing time, tithing money. I wonder if we've ever stole any of God's time. Somebody help me tonight, amen? Used it for a sale. Or God's money and used it for herself. One preacher said one time, he said, man, I tell you what. He said, when them tithes go on vacation, sometimes they don't make it back. Let me say that again. That just felt good. Amen. Sometimes when them tithes go on vacation, they don't make it back. I don't think we have that problem around here. I really don't. Just look at the offering all through the summer. I believe either somebody's giving it early or giving it when they get back. Amen. But they're giving it. It don't dip way down the way it has in some places I've been. Amen. But the tithe, the time, our talent, we sometimes, I think, steal from the Lord that he's blessed us with. He said, let him give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which is good. The use of edifying. I'm going somewhere. They minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Paul has just went through a list of things that if you and I are guilty of them, we are grieving the one that sealed us until the day of redemption. I was thinking about my son. He has two boys. One of them, you can swat him. He'll grit his teeth. You can swat him again. He'll grit his teeth a little harder. The other one, you can just look at him and he'll melt. Their natures are different. Their character is different. But I'll tell you something right now. I believe if you and I could see the face of our Lord when we grieve him, it might make a difference. Amen. I believe it would. I believe it would melt our heart. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed to the day of redemption. And he said, he comes with some more things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I want you to think about the seal tonight, the pictogram of the letter, tall here in these last 8 verses. And I want to say 3 things briefly tonight about this section of Scripture. Number one, this seal, having this seal of God upon our lives should move us to prayer. It should not move us from Him. It should move us to Him. It should move us to prayer. Look what the psalmist said. Let my cry come, what's that next word? Near. The songwriter said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. And I believe with all my heart that prayer is one of the ways we can come near Him. The Bible said He's near unto him that is of a broken. He's nigh unto him that is a broken and a contrite spirit. Let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy word. I want to give you a couple of things here tonight about prayer. This seal should move us to prayer. Prayer moves us, number one, into His presence. The Bible said here twice in two verses, before Thee. Prayer moves us into His presence. I'll tell you what I believe tonight. I believe that our Father wants us in His presence. I believe that tonight with all of my heart. I told the men when I left yesterday, I said, I got to try to get home before that baby goes to bed. I tell you, there's just something about her presence. She loves Papaw, and Papaw loves her. You say, why don't you never talk about that boy? He ain't old enough to talk about yet. Amen. Leave me alone. Amen. No, I'm telling you the truth. He'll get to be some fun after a while. But right now, that little girl and her presence. You know what I believe? I believe God wants His little children to come in His presence. I believe He wants us to have a fellowship and a relationship with Him. Spend some time with Him. And the psalmist is telling us that this seal should move us to prayer. It should move us. Prayer moves us into His presence. That someone said, safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. I say amen to that. I mean, Joseph was in a dangerous place, but God was with him. The three Hebrew children were in a dangerous place, but God was with them. Daniel was in a dangerous place, but God was with him. John was exiled out on the Isle of Patmos, but God was with him. It's the presence of God, not the absence of danger, that makes a difference in our lives. Prayer not only moves us into His presence, but prayer reveals to us His purpose in our lives. Look what the Bible said. O Lord, give me understanding according to Thy word. I tell you tonight, how many believes, listen to me carefully tonight, that the will of God, outside of being saved by the grace of God, is the most precious thing that a believer could ever find for their life. To be in His will. To be doing what God wants you to do with your life. I tried to instruct my children years ago, and it's a truth. Everybody said, don't you want your boy to be a preacher? Well, if God wants him to be a preacher, then I'd love for him to be a preacher. Amen, Brother Rose, I know you're proud of your boy, and I know my dad was proud of me. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If God don't want my boy to be a preacher, and he tries to be a preacher, he'll be miserable. God don't want every man to be a preacher. Amen. I told my church one time, I said, if you'll come back. At that time we had two children. I said, if you'll come back tonight, I want to tell you what I want my children to be when they grow up. Everybody was on the edge of their bench just waiting for me to tell them what I wanted Jeremy and what I wanted Amanda to be. And I told them this, I want them to be exactly what God wants them to be. Nothing more, nothing less. I just want them to be what God wants them to be. I've heard preachers say, well, we've got enough plumbers. We need more preachers. Well, we do need more preachers. But I tell you what, daddy calling them ain't going to do no good. Amen. If God don't call them and put them in the ministry, then they don't need to be in the ministry. I believe the world's full of them, by the way. Amen. Full of them. Bible said it moves us into His presence. It reveals to us His purpose. Give me understanding. You remember when Solomon was asking of God, he wanted wisdom. He wanted understanding. I'll say this tonight. My dad was one of them. My dad did not have a lot of education. But I tell you, he had more common sense than I believe any man I've ever met in my life. He could figure things out. And he just had a way. He knew how to, he could get along with somebody that had a college degree or four or five of them. He wasn't intimidated by that. He was just a man. And he knew his limitations. But I tell you what, tonight he had wisdom way, way, way beyond this world because he was willing to walk with God. Prayer reveals to us his purpose in our lives. Prayer reveals to us his protection in our lives. In the next verse, he said, "Let my supplication come before me. Deliver me according to thy word." Now listen tonight. Now I'm not going to say that. If I said that, it would go out over the internet, and I'm not going to say that out over the internet. It's not nothing bad, but I was going to tell you about an experience I had in the last few days in my heart, but I'm not going to say that. It'd go out over the internet. Mike, some give somebody an idea, and they've got enough ideas already. I'm talking about that wicked outfit. They've got enough ideas already without me feeding it, amen? So God stopped me right there. But I want to tell you something tonight. You can be in a dangerous place, but thank God there's one that can take care of you regardless of what the danger is. Amen. There's one that can take care of you regardless of what the danger is. Prayer reveals to us the protection in our lives when he said, "Deliver me." And then let me give you a couple more things about prayer. Prayer, look at verse 173. It reveals the help needed in seeking the Lord. He said, "Let thine hand help me." How many tonight needs his help? Listen, we cannot even, remember the scripture that I read in Ephesians? We cannot even begin to carry that one little section of scripture out without the Holy Spirit, without the help of God. We can't even begin to carry it out for the glory of God. You say, "Preacher, you bitter tonight?" Nope. To God be the glory. "Preacher, you got an unforgiving spirit tonight?" Nope. To God be the glory. "Preacher, you're trying to walk after the new man?" Yes, but to God be the glory. I can't do any of that without his help. I tell you what Jesus said we can do without him. Nothing. That's how bad we need his help. That's how bad we need his help. So prayer reveals the help needed. "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." Prayer reveals the hope needed in seeking the Lord. The Bible said, "I have longed for thy salvation. O Lord, thy law is my delight." When I see verses like this, we need to understand that this is not talking about that salvation of the soul, but it's talking about the redemption of the body. Here's a man that's already, you can't write Psalm 119, amen, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost without the Holy Ghost working in you. Amen. And see, he's not asking God to save him, but he's longing for that day when that old man will be laid aside and only the new man will stand in his presence. Amen. There'll be no more struggle. There'll be no more warfare. It reveals the hope. That's the hope, the blessed hope that Jesus will come again, that you and I will be like him. Now listen, folks, tonight, it's important because if we're looking for him, we're much more likely to live for him. And if we live for him, we're much more likely to love on him, amen, and enjoy his presence. Prayer reveals the help needed in seeking the Lord. Prayer reveals the hope needed in seeking the Lord. But then prayer reveals the heart that's needed in seeking the Lord. He said, "Let my soul live." It's something that's coming from inside, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. We'll talk just a little bit about the lips and the words and the praise. But he's telling us right here in Psalm 175, verse or 119, verse 175, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee." I believe if praise doesn't come from within, then it's artificial. Amen. It must come from the heart. It must come from the soul. And then prayer reveals one more thing, the honesty needed in seeking the Lord. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean there?" Well, how many of us would have closed out Psalm 119 with this verse? "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." I'm not proud of it tonight. And I'm being honest tonight. But there have been many, many times that I've gone astray like a lost sheep. You see, the closer you get to the Lord, the less it takes in your life for you to consider yourself to be astray. If you walk out on the edges to start with, amen, it's kind of like the one fellow said the king was looking for a chariot driver. And he said he got in the, he was watching them and they were putting on an exhibition and said, man, they would get in the chariot. Said most of them said they would hit those horses and they would run fast and they'd go around the cliff, Brother Eddie, just as close as they could to the edge. Oh, they were just trying to impress the king. But one of them, he got up on the horses. He leaned to the inside. He got up in the chariot. He went at a mediocre speed. He leaned to the inside. He leaned safely. Beloved, that ought to be the way God's people lean in this world. We ought to lean to the safe. Amen. We shouldn't see how close we can get to the edge without getting in the world. But we ought to lean to the inside. We ought to lean to the Lord. We ought to walk with the Lord. But here the psalmist said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. The prayer reveals the honesty needed in seeking the Lord. Sometimes, I'll tell you, you remember a while ago? Remember the story of Judah and Tamar? Judah's ready to stone her. She's played the harlot. Pretty easy to pass the judgment when the shoe's on somebody else's foot. Amen? And the psalmist here, he said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I heard a preacher say one time, don't you worry about those folks that's all the time going to the altar. He said, no. He said, I worry about those that never need to go. Think about that tonight. You know, maybe it's not the altar in the church. Maybe folks stay close to God in the closet, and that's great. That's wonderful. But there ought to be some times in our life we could point back to and say, God, I missed it. I blew it. And I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. This seal should move us to pray. Secondly, this seal should move us to praise. I'll not be long. Don't worry. The Bible said in verse 171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. I believe we ought to praise him because he teaches us, don't you? I was thinking about being in a deer stand on High Knob. I guess that'd be Wise County up above Norton. I was in a deer stand up there one day. And had a little testament that I carried with me. And I hope you don't think I'm telling you this to brag on me. That's not what this is about. I wish I had 10,000 more times in my life that I was just simply reading God's word. Brother Steve, I forgot where I was. I forgot what I was doing. And he spoke to my heart, and out loud I said, praise the Lord. That hunt was kind of over. I just packed everything up and climbed down. But I tell you something tonight. He said here, my lips shall utter praise. Watch when thou hast taught me thy statutes. When's the last time you were reading the Bible or studying a Sunday school lesson or maybe listening to the radio going down the road or maybe listening to a CD and God taught you something and you were able to say, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, we're living, listen, I'm not accusing anyone of this. Brother Brian, I go back to your Sunday school lesson. I can't remember how you worded it. But it was about the college or the high school, the freshman, the sophomore, the junior, the senior. How you rank yourself kind of in the learning, in the being taught God's word. And Brother Brian said, if we're honest, we ought to stay down here. We should never get to that place where we think, well, we're about to get out of school. I'm 56 years old, and I'm being honest. I don't feel like I'm about to get out of school. I believe I'm just about to learn how to go to school. Does that help anybody tonight? I feel sorry for people that think that they have mastered this book. I'll be honest with you. I haven't mastered this book. And this book is still working on mastering me. Somebody say amen. That's why we need to stay in it. Praise Him because He teaches us. And then praise Him. I thought about Saturday. Because we can teach others. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look at verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word. You know what God wants us to do? He don't want us to go out and say the preacher said. He don't want us to go out and say the deacon said. He don't want us to go out and say, well, a Sunday school teacher said. He wants us to go out and share this precious old book. God said. God said. Somebody said, well, I don't have to go to church. Well, I just have to tell you, God said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He knew we needed one another. The church, He bought it. He died for it. He brought it with His blood, and it pleases Him when God's people. How many believe that? Well, I just don't think you ought to do all that praying. And the Bible said, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Amen. Well, I just don't think that Bible is right. Every word of God is pure. We ought to just be able to kind of scripturally tell people why we stand, where we stand. Well, I just think all the religions in the world are right. Really? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe, listen, we ought to answer with a soft answer. Amen. It turneth away wrath. Well, we ought to answer with a scriptural answer. I believe that tonight. The seal should move us to praise. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are right. So I'm going to ask a question tonight. How many of y'all have been in a situation, you know the Holy Spirit moved you to speak to someone and you failed to do it? How many's ever been in that situation? Now listen to me carefully. Go on back in your mind, back over there to Ephesians chapter 4. What happened? What happened? All of a sudden, we knew we grieved Him, didn't we? Because really, it was disobedience. He was moving us to say a word for Him. We didn't do it. Now, how many knows the flip side of that coin? The Holy Spirit moved you to say a word. You said a word. God honored it. And boy, just walking away, it's kind of like walking away from your dad when you know you've done what he asked you to do. And looking at the expression on his face, knowing, that's my son. And I'm so proud of him right now. That's my son. I believe tonight it ought to move us to teach others. The seal should move us to praise. Praise because he teaches us. Praise him because we can teach others. And then this seal should move us in peace. And I'm done tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah 26. I've known 26:3 for years. Had it committed to heart. But I didn't see the surrounding verses till this afternoon. And really put it together. Isaiah 26:2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nations which keepeth the truth may enter in. I'm going to stop and say something tonight. Maybe I shouldn't, but I am. But I don't think the law ought to be different for one individual in America than it is for every individual in America. Say amen right there. But I tell you, we're living on the edge. We're living on the edge. And it looks like if we go over the edge, we may never get our country back. I'm telling you, the law ought to be the same for every individual. And when you can just go back as little as 3 years and see someone convicted of a lesser circumstance, it hurts. It hurts my heart to think. But here the Bible said, the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. We need to pray that we'll keep the truth. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What a wonderful verse. Then trust ye in the Lord. Verse 4, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. This seal in the Lord should move us in peace. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing. hearing by the word of God. Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You say, preacher, where did you get peace out of this little section of scripture? Well, in verse 169 and 170, according to thy word. In verse 175, thou hast taught me thy precepts. In verse 172, thy commandments are righteous. In verse 173, I have chosen thy precepts. Verse 174, the law is my delight. Verse 175, let thy judgments help me. Verse 176, I do not forget thy commandments. I'm telling you, that is a recipe for peace in the heart, in the mind of the born-again believer. According to thy word. Thou hast taught me thy precepts. Thy commandments are righteous. I have chosen thy precepts. Thy law is my delight. Let thy judgments help me. I do not forget thy commandments. What a blessing tonight. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I believe we ought to fill our mind with this precious old book, don't you? I believe we ought to fill our mind with the truths of God's word. Father, tonight, thank you for this portion of scripture, Psalm 119. Lord, every verse magnifies in one form or another the word of the living God. Lord, I believe you said you've magnified your word even above your name. And we find that you were given a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Lord, I want to pray tonight that, Lord, we as a church, we as the families in our church, we as individuals would never get away from the Bible. Help us to continue to teach the Bible, to preach the Bible, to live the Bible. Lord, one of the reasons we like the old hymns is because we're singing the Bible. We're singing the truths, our Lord, of thy word. Lord, there's a lot of new ways out there. Lord, I pray you'd help us to stay in the old time way. Trust the book. Lord, I can remember something that was said to me several months ago. Preacher, if I don't get it done, it won't get done. God, how we need to trust the Bible. Trust the God of the Bible to do what needs to be done in our midst. Lord, we pray you give us a good day, Saturday. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to care, to show compassion, and to compel families. Lord, many of them have precious children. Come to the Bible school. Help us, our Lord, as we endeavor to follow up. In Jesus' name.